you, ladies, for that. And thank you, Zach, Lori, and Linda, for leading us in our time of worship together through song. This morning, we continue our Advent series looking at the theme of joy. And thank you, Bob and Donna, for those readings this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, I encourage you to take it out at this time and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. That's all there is in Isaiah 12. And as you do, I want to make mention the reality of this passage, that this is not merely a prophecy, but it is a praise. It is a praise to God in the midst of a trying time in the nation of Israel. We looked a few weeks ago at Isaiah chapter 9 and what was taking place in the time and life of the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, because at this point they are split. And this psalm of praise, this song of praise from Isaiah, is coming at a time in the people of God's life when King Ahaz is under great military threat, under the imminent invasion of a great military, and he is left with a decision one that many of us are often left with. Do we trust in the Lord as our God, or do we turn to earthly measures to save us, to bring about our salvation in whatever the circumstance? Ahaz, like many of us, though we don't want to be equated with Ahaz, did not trust in or obey the Lord, but turned to men, more importantly, fallen men, for his aid, rather than the salvation of God. And we know this to be the case because of what is recorded for us, before I get to our text this morning, in 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 2 through 4. And where it is recorded for us in the book of 2 Kings, these words: Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God, as his father David had done, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, Ahaz being a king of Judah. He even burned his son as an offering according to the despicable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. And he sacrificed and made offerings on high places and on the hills under every green tree. But Isaiah writes this psalm in the midst of all of this, in the midst of King Ahaz's rule and lack of trusting in the Lord completely, as a way to express complete and utter reliance upon and trust in God Almighty. With that, let us read the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah, a prophet of the Lord God Most High, records these words for us under the inspiration and guidance of the Spirit of God. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace in our life. We thank you for the time that we can gather together in your presence, in your house, to worship and glorify you, to be intent on singing your praises, on knowing and declaring your works, not just this day, but every day that you give to us. But this day we do remember the joy that you gave to us through the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ. And just as we heard, reflected in the readings this morning, that when we think of the birth of our Savior, we have to think of his crucifixion and what that meant for not just us, but all of humanity. And we praise and glorify your name all the more. Father, be with us this morning as we seek to glean from your word what we may and be diligent to apply it to our lives each and every day that you give to us. Lord, we love you, we praise you. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen. As we look at this passage this morning, we can't help but see all that Isaiah has written has been fulfilled in Christ's first advent. And it's what we look forward to in Christ's second advent. But especially as we consider the joy that Christ delivered to us in his first coming, the joy that we expectantly await in his second coming. In this passage, there are several things that we can draw on and draw out as it pertains to the joy that we celebrate this Advent season in celebrating the birth of Emmanuel. But we do so first with his first coming. But as we were reminded in the readings this morning, we do so by looking forward to what we will celebrate in just a few short months of Christ's crucifixion, but also his resurrection, and what we anxiously, with great expectation, await in his second coming. The first thing that we can pull from in this text this morning, in this psalm of praise, is that there is joy in Christ's advent because God is our salvation. Reminding you once more that Isaiah is writing this as a reminder to the people of Judah as their king turns away from God to rely on men for their salvation. Isaiah is saying, God is your salvation. And we are reminded of that God is our salvation. Though his anger and wrath burned against humanity, God at the right time sent his Son to save all who call upon his name. Isaiah opens this very text up with these two verses saying, you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. We see in the opening verses of our text this morning that Isaiah is declaring that a day is coming when you will not fear the wrath of God. You will not feel the wrath of God because he has turned his anger away. His wrath has been satisfied in Jesus Christ. Isaiah is reminding the people of God that day is coming. For us, that day has come. We are now in the intermediary waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. But he is reminding the people that a day is coming when you will not feel the wrath of God anymore because God has sent his own love that he might comfort us. That it is to and for his glory alone. And why Isaiah says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust in him and will not be afraid. Why? Because there is no fear in God. Perfect love casts out all fear. It is why Joseph was told Jesus would save his people from their sin. The very sin that brought the wrath of God upon us. But Joseph is reminded that the thing that has happened to Mary, his betrothed, is a beautiful and wonderful thing and that he should not divorce her to save face, but he should still marry her and take this child as his own and shall call his name Jesus, because he has been sent to take away the sins of his people. It's why the wise men sought the king of the Jews and chose not to tell Herod where he could find Jesus after they went and beheld the glory of the only begotten, though as a child. It is why the child in Elizabeth's womb leapt for joy when Mary came close to her. The child we know as John the Baptist, the one who was sent to prepare the way of the Messiah. And it is why later in John's life that he declares not once, but several times when he saw Jesus coming, "Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world." You see, there is joy in Christ's advent because Christ's advent has declared God's salvation has come. It has declared that God alone is our salvation, and in him we trust and we will not fear. Just as Isaiah declared in these opening verses, saying that there is coming a day when we will give thanks, because though God was angry with us, he turned his anger away by sending his Son, who satisfied the wrath of the Father, that he might comfort us and bring us back into his warm embrace. The second thing that we can draw from this passage regarding the joy we see in Christ's advent is that in God sending his salvation, God has become our strength. God has become our strength, as he was meant to be all along, as was his desire to be for the people of Judah in this time where they were fearing for their lives because of an imminent invasion. But Ahaz turned to lesser things. But Isaiah again reminds them, beginning in the second half of verse 2, saying, "For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw waters from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, 'Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted.'" Isaiah is reminding us that this day is coming. Is reminding the people of Judah that this day is coming. For us, again, it has already come because Christ has been born. Emmanuel has come and dwelt among us. But he is reminding the people that God is their strength. God is our strength. God is the wellspring of life. That all who are thirsty, when they drink of him, they are satisfied. They thirst no more. It is why Christ said in John chapter 4, 13 and 14, to the woman at the well, saying, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And Christ further expands upon that in chapter 7 of John's gospel account in verses 37 through 38, saying, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" We are reminded that Christ is our strength because in him is the wellspring of life. It is why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 through 11, of God being his and Timothy's strength when they thought they were standing in the face of certain death. Paul, no stranger to threats on his life, considered his life forfeit because of Christ. but never once denounced Christ, even in the face of certain death. And it's why he says in the midst of that text of 2 Corinthians, indeed we have felt that we have received the sentence of death. But that was not to make us rely not on ourselves. That was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul and Timothy looked to God as their strength, knowing that should they lose their lives, as Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, it is gain. But to live is Christ. Paul reminds us that God is our strength, even in the face of certain adversity, in the face of trials and tribulations, God is our strength. We do not turn to our own vices, our own measures, or our own strength because they fail us in the end. But God's strength does not fail us. And we have that through Christ Jesus and the joy we felt in his first coming. The joy that we expectantly and excitedly await to see once more in his second coming. The joy that we see in Christ's empty tomb. It's why when we think of Christ's advent, as we have done the last several weeks of his first advent, we have to understand why he came in the first place. And it wasn't just to dwell among us. It was become the perfect and pleasing sacrifice to satisfy the wrath of the Father, so that through the work of the Father, we might become his righteousness, to the glory of God alone. The third and final thing that we can draw from the joy that we see in this text regarding Christ's advent is that God is our song. That not only is God our salvation and God our strength, but God becomes our song. The thing that we dwell upon day in and day out, night after night, that we ought to be reminded of the reality that we ought to sing of the glories of God, to be reminded daily of his mercy. And it's why Isaiah, in that very same portion of our text this morning, in the second half of verse 2, says, "For the Lord God is not only my strength, but my song. And he has become my salvation." And then jumping to our last two verses in our text this morning, Isaiah says, "Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." We are reminded in the joy of Christ's advent that God is our song. That in Christ's coming, God has sent his salvation. God has given us strength to face each and every new day and the trials that will come its way, because that's the reality of this life, is that we will face trials and tribulations. But for those of us in this room who know the Lord, we do so with joy. We rejoice in our trials because it leads to perseverance and steadfastness. Not relying on our strength, but relying on the strength of God in us through Jesus Christ, brought about by the Holy Spirit. And when we do that, we can't help but sing. We can't help but sing the hymns that we sing this morning or any other Sunday, to be reminded of the biblical truths in those songs. That we leave here, and we often are leaving here with one of these songs on our lips, either humming it or actually singing it. That is because of God in us. And it's those songs that brighten our day, that even when we are struggling to find happiness, the Lord reminds us of those songs. The Lord reminds us that He is our song. And in Him, we sing glad tidings. It's the song that lifts up our spirits when we are down. The songs that remind us of God's promises, of His providential hand in our life, of His sovereignty, that He is in control of all things. God is our song. It's why we read throughout the Psalms, verses like Psalm 7:17, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. We do not sing for ourselves. We sing for God and God alone. We sing of His promises. We sing of His works. We sing what He has done to and for His glory alone. Not to make us feel better, not to leave us going out of this place comforted that we're okay in our current state of lives. Because the very reality is that if we spend any amount of time in the Word of God, we will be convicted of just how far short of the glory of God we fall. But we're not left there. We're not left there at all. That God, through His Spirit, draws us out of that place by faith in Jesus Christ to show us that He is in control, that it is all to and for His glory alone. And it's His glory that we are to proclaim. It's why we read in Psalm 9:11, again, the same words of God being our song. Sing praises to the Lord who sits enthroned in Zion. Tell among the peoples His deeds. Our charge as the body of Christ to go and declare to all nations the good news of Jesus Christ, which begins with repentance. To repent from sin and believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Lord and Savior of your lives. We see that very same thing in Psalm 13:6 and even in Psalm 18:49. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations and sing to your name. Or in Psalm 27, verse 6, in at least 20 other times do we see in the Psalms the necessity to sing the praises of God. Why? Because God is our song. It is Him who we ought to meditate upon both day and night. It is why the psalmist in Psalm 1 delights in the law of the Lord. Why? Because the law of the Lord directs him back to the lawgiver. It is not to make his way any more sure. It is not to give him any more glory in this life, but it is to bring about the glory of God alone through what God has done. And what the law demands is a perfect and pleasing sacrifice. And that came through Jesus Christ as a helpless babe, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. We see throughout the Psalms, praises of God's promises, praises of God's works, praises of who He is, praises of His salvation. And this is exactly what we see in the midst of Isaiah chapter 12, where the prophet is declaring to the people of Judah to remember God as their salvation, as their own king turns away from God, does evil in the sight of the Lord, and relies on lesser men than God Almighty. Isaiah reminds the people of God that there is coming a day when they will feel the joy of the Lord. For us, that day has come. And now we expectantly await of Christ's coming again. That God is our strength. God is our salvation. God is our song because of all of that. And we sing His praises. God is our song because of the gift He has freely given to us, which is eternal life in and through His Son, Jesus Christ alone. Christ Christ's advent brought joy into the world because it meant God's salvation had finally come. The salvation that Isaiah declared of, even here in Isaiah 12, the salvation he declared of in Isaiah 7, in Isaiah 9, the salvation that came as a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Salvation that would free all people from their sin should they repent and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. It is why the angels, in the text that we looked at last week, when they appeared to the shepherds, declared the following: "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Good news of great joy that unto you is born this day in the city of David, that is Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly with the angel were a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Isaiah 12 reminds us of the joy we have in celebrating the first advent of Christ. The joy we have because of God Almighty, who sent his Son, even when he was angry with the world and had every right to be, sent his Son to be the perfect and pleasing sacrifice, to reveal his power, his dominion, his authority, so that all glory would be given to him. That he alone is salvation and has sent his salvation. Christ's coming was good news of great joy indeed. For he was and is the salvation that Isaiah wrote of throughout all of his prophecies. Especially the salvation he wrote of here in Isaiah chapter 12. When he says in verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation." The very same statement that John the Baptist declares when he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world." You think it's a coincidence that Isaiah said, "the Lamb of God"? No. Because it is the very animal that God deemed necessary in the sin sacrifices. But now it is the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sins of the world once and for all. For the death Christ died, he died once for all, and is sufficient for all time. The joy of Christ fills all who call upon his name in faith, and ought to leave each and every one of us singing the praises of God all the more. Whether that be through the hymns or just reflecting upon the scriptures. That when we truly know God as our salvation, God as our strength, we can't help but sing of God and his wondrous deeds. I am so incredibly blessed to have someone here. All of us are blessed to have someone here like Zach, who is very intentional and methodical in the selection of songs that he puts together each and every week. Not just to coincide with what I am preaching on, because sometimes he has no idea, but by the sovereignty of God, they often align. But he is very intentional in making sure that the songs we sing are grounded in biblical truth, that are grounded in not expressing our current state, but expressing God's eternal majesty. Not in expressing the me, the my, the I, but expressing God Almighty. It is one reason why he is so intent on adding to our pews the Sing Hymnal, because they bring in even modern hymns that do that very thing. It's why we sing from hymnals, because the hymns we sing are timeless, many of them proven for hundreds of years. Some of them have fallen to the wayside because it was necessary, but the majority are proven and remind us that God is our song and will forever be. And so as Zach and the ladies come back to lead us in our time of response this morning, I invite you to respond in whatever way the Spirit is leading you. Whether that be up here at the altar, where I'll be and Brother Ron will be this morning, as we are each and every week, or at your seats, but you respond according to the Spirit's prompting in your life. But I encourage you to respond in declaring that God is your salvation, being reminded that God is your salvation, God is your strength, and in that, God is your song. What gets you up out of bed each and every morning? Because the very reality is, not much in this life would get us out of bed. Not much in this life would cause us to want to put on fresh clothes each and every day. God alone does that. So you respond in this time.